The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We begin each hour of this program with our impact segment, 20 plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. We do have a guest who I consider a friend. I'm not sure if he considers me a friend, but he's one of our most anointed pastors. Many of you know and love Levi Lusco, especially those of you here in Southern California. If you attend Pastor Greg's Harvest Crusades, Levi is the guy that keeps it all together. His church is Fresh Life Church in Montana, now also in Wyoming, Oregon, and Utah. He's written many books. The main reason why we've asked him on today is he has a brand new book out today. It's entitled Take Back Your Life, A 40-Day Interactive Journey to Thinking Right So You Can Live Right. Levi Lusco, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Levi, how are you?
Frank, it's so great to hear your voice. Thanks for having me on. I definitely consider you a friend.
Well, thank you, brother. It's good to hear your voice, too. Now, you've been busy. You've been busy writing. How did I miss I Declare War?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, my wife and I have released 5 books in 5 years, which is crazy, to the day. My first book came out 5 years ago today on the 4th of August. And, yeah, I Declare War was a real fun project a couple years back.
I missed that one. I'm going to go online and order it as soon as I get off the air, as well as your brand new one, which we want you to talk about. Take Back Your Life. Share a little bit about this endeavor and why you wrote this book.
Well, you know, Frank, it is a happy, God-ordained coincidence. I mean, I just think it's beautiful that we are in this time, and I wrote this book about overcoming anxiety and working through personal dysfunction, dealing with external circumstances that you can't control, internal battles that you want to get out of. But we began to work a few years ago. We basically had this idea that, you know, a lot of people don't sit down and read books, but, you know, someone will read a devotional because, you know, it's just it's a low barrier. It's easy to, you know, not get too intimidated by it. So we thought, why don't we take 40 days of devotionals, chop it up to where people could read a book a little bit a day for 40 days. It's got a ribbon, it's hardcover, and that way people can, you know, commit to going through it with a friend or two for these 40 days. And it's all about how to really better yourself. I mean, Jesus wants us to grow. He forgives us when we come to him as Christians, but he wants us to grow. And I think a lot of us are held back by our pasts, by grief we've gone through, by, you know, harmful habits, relationships that are toxic, and quite frankly, a lack of personal self-management. And so this book is really about saying, hey, what's holding you back? Because for freedom, Christ set us free. So now let's take back our lives, because in just a few moments, we're all going to stand before Jesus. And really, between now and then, we've all been given talents to invest and not to waste.
Amen. Amen. Levi Lusco is my guest. Levi, I just did my attempt at a little bit of a Bible teaching, and I drew it to the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, where Jesus asked him, do you really want to be healed? Now, I don't want to be confrontative with the listeners, but take back your life. I want to ask you directly. Can we talk a little bit about our willingness to, do we really want to be healed? Do we really want to take back your life? Or are we just going to be complicit or casual about our walk with the Lord? This involves doing a bit of work. I love that you're doing this in a devotional, but what about the idea of, do we really want to be healed?
Yeah, and that's exactly it, Frank. I think desire to change is where it has to begin. I've got a good friend who has been battling, you know, alcoholism, and the big thing is, quite frankly, he's been through rehabs. He's got all the right people around him, but he, by his own admission, he's not a broken person. It's not come to a crisis of faith. So all the doctors in the world, all the sermons, all the prayers. At the end of the day, he, like you said, Jesus asked that man, do you want to be made well? because some people don't. Some people are comfortable with their dysfunction. They're okay blaming circumstances, and they're you know, quite frankly, okay with the victim mentality. And there has to come a point when you realize, look, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I want to move forward. And so, yeah, this to me is something to help people, because 40, the reason we picked that number in the Bible, comes up again and again as a number of testing. And we're in 2020, which if you add 20 to 20, you get 40. Mm. And if there ever was a year of testing, a year that has tested our faith, and the Bible says that God tests us not to destroy us, but to develop us. He wants us to pass the test that is COVID-19, to pass the test that is this next election, to pass the test that is this racial tension. He wants us to come out better and to come out kinder with greater levels of empathy, humility, and I think, quite frankly, self-control.
As you talk about the realities of this year, and obviously you began this book before we found ourselves in this kind of interesting situation right now with COVID-19, but Levi, I'm not asking you to necessarily share, but this is a book by which you're not just somehow postulating or just speaking as if somehow you don't know challenges in life. So that being said, the question I want to ask you to espouse a bit more on is, we all have struggles in this life, and yet your message, one of the many reasons why I love you and I'm inspired by you, your message has always been not only one of hope in Christ, but you've lived this to the point where now you're writing this devotional, like, people, we can really get right. We can live right. We can celebrate this very short life in Christ and then forever celebrate together in eternity. So talk about the idea of the difference maybe between being positive and truly living with joy for Christ.
That's great. That's exactly it. I think joy is huge. That's the reason that was in my heart as I wrote this book. And honestly, Frank, the word joy has been, in my mind, the number one thing that God has been trying to do in the heart of his church throughout this pandemic. I think, I don't presume to know why God allowed this to happen, but I do know what God is trying to do. And he's trying to work joy in the heart of his church, because joy is meant to be, to a watching world, the thing that shows us, that shows them that there is something to this message we're communicating. It was joy that was the outcome of the resurrection. It was joy that was the response to Christians for 2,000 years. Not joy in possessions, not joy in circumstances, but joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I think God's trying to call us back to our true joy. But we have to swear off these lesser counterfeit pleasures that so often sit on the thrones of our hearts. And I think that if we can identify and expose and root out the things that are holding us back, the patterns of thinking, because it does come back down to thinking often. You mentioned positivity, and, you know, obviously I don't think that we can fix ourselves by positive thinking, but I do think that our thinking impacts our living, which is why I say in this book that we have to learn to think right so we can live right. The Bible says to set your mind on things above, and that we are to take every thought captive, and that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So really, a lot of these battles, you know, a lot of these people you listening are dealing with anxieties and troubles and worries. But these come to your mind. And to the extent that you can win this war in your mind, in your spirit, that you're going to find strength in your life. You know, the struggle of parenting with homeschool, another semester looming of kids at home and all this craziness, it comes down to your mind. You got to get your mind right and put on that new man, that new nature, and let your mind be transformed by the word and not be squeezed into the pattern of this world. Mm.
Levi Lusko is my guest. LeviLusko.com is the website. We're talking about his brand new book out today entitled Take Back Your Life, a 40-day interactive journey to thinking right so you can live right. Levi, talk about your intentionality, and you alluded to it before, but I know maybe I need you to talk to me. I get lazy sometimes when I read books, and I love the idea that you really intentionally did a step-by-step process on how to do this in bits and pieces by which we can go, okay, I can do that today. I can come up with an action plan. Maybe talk a little bit more specifics about the book, and then I've got a follow-up because I know you have journaling, room for journaling in the book, too, and I want to have a brief conversation about the realities of journaling. But what about the book itself? You talk about a devotional. Yeah. Talk about some steps here, if you will.
It's a beautiful book. It's large. I'm sitting here looking at it on a coffee table. I think people are going to leave it on their coffee table and come back to it every day in the morning or in the evening when they do the devotions. Every day begins with scripture, so we anchor you there. And then there's doodles all throughout the book. We illustrated it with little doodles, and kind of we wanted to prompt that. Like, I want people to mess it up. Get your pen out. Just underline a word you like. Draw a little thing in the corner. And then as you get to the end, we're going to guide you through a section called Breathe, Think, and Live. And I think, honestly, Frank, one of the things that we need to do is just take a breath. You know, this world, it can take our breath away. Trials can take our breath away. COVID can take literally your breath away. And the Bible says that at creation, God put breath into man, and that at Pentecost, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit onto man. So I think one of the things we need to remember is, man, I've come to the end of myself. Yeah, I need a second wind. I need to get my second wind. And I want this book to help people get their second wind. So I give a section every time called Breathe, Think, and Live for 40 days. Imagine how different you would look if for 40 days in a row you sat there, read some scripture, read my devotional, but then breathe, took a deep breath. Ask for God's Spirit to fill you afresh. Mm. And then you think, what does this have to do with me? How can I apply this today? And then live it out. And then I give some very simple application questions that you can even doodle right there in the margin, your answers to it. Sometimes I don't like it when workbooks have too many lines because it's like, oh, I don't want to write a novel. You know, it's like the short answer on the, you know, essay test or whatever, or the essay on the test. So I want it just to be low barrier. Just write a couple words here. What's hard for you? Okay, today I'm mad at my wife, or I'm struggling with my bills, or my boss is a jerk. Whatever. Write it down. Then the last thing I do is I give a prayer. And I want you to pray this out loud every day because I think you hearing the sound of your own voice articulating faith will actually build up your faith. Mm. And so that's, I mean, just 40 days of that. Then I wrote, you know, a 5,000-word introduction and conclusion that is going to kind of set your vision. And then on the back end, kind of where do we go from here? So that's kind of the goal here.
Well, you just took the question that I had next right out of my mind. It's like whenever I look at devotional books or books that have you can write, you can journal, and I see a bunch of lines, I don't know if it's trauma from school, but I kind of go, journaling? I got nothing to say. Versus I loved what you said, just little snippets. Just put it down.
This book is written from a scribbler to a scribbler. So just write, there's a lot of white space, just write a little here and there. And if you don't want to write, great, read it, just read it. And I think at the end of the day, it's all about the application anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Levi Lusko is my guest. A couple more questions. Levi, it's good to hear your voice. Thanks for being on today. It's been quite a while since I've had you on.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute, for sure. What about those that say, well, I struggle with reading and I like the idea of watching a video? I know that you have a little bit of a curriculum as well that is released simultaneously with the book. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so we put together 5 Bible study videos for small groups. Theoretically, I mean, you can go through it, of course, by yourself, but the idea is like, hey, look, a lot of churches are not gathering in larger groups, but many, many churches are gathering in small groups. Like ours, we're getting smaller groups together that we don't have to, you know, wear the masks and all that stuff like that. So we thought small group curriculum would be powerful. So that, cause, you know, really life change happens in relationships. It takes a village, you know, to see the community affected change in your heart. So we did that, and then we also did some small group curriculum for people who want to take it deeper. And some people, unlike you and me, do love those fill-in-the-blanks. My wife, for example, she's never met a fill-in-the-blank she didn't love to fill out. So for her, you know, she loves going through her Lisa Turkers or Priscilla Shire, Beth Moore group studies. So we put together around this topic small group curriculum and video teachings, too, so that you could go through it, you know, with your church group or your, you know, bowling team or whatever.
Beautiful. LeviLusko.com is the website. The book, again, Take Back Your Life. Levi, a couple questions in closing. I want to talk a little bit about Fresh Life Church. You just alluded to small groups. And how's that going? How is it to be a pastor in a day and age by which we have this thing called COVID-19? How's it been for you?
Oh, it's been great, Frank. It's been challenging, of course. But at the end of the day, I've been so blessed watching our church. You know, at the beginning in March, we Never thought in July we would still be in this. Yep. We thought this. I remember thinking, oh, there's no way we're not meeting for Easter. Yep. You know, and then of course that came and blew by, and then here we are. And but at the same time, I've watched our church continue to be generous, continue to give, continue to serve. You know, we did initiatives where we could serve in food banks and homeless shelters, and we've it's been wonderful to watch the Church of Jesus Christ do that in their neighborhoods, in their homes, in their communities. And I'm eager to get back, just like the next guy, to our large gathering, thousands of people, you know, all singing out songs together loudly. But in the meantime, it's been amazing to watch the church be the church outside the walls of the building.
Last question, and you can share as much as you want with whatever time we have. I'm just giving you the microphone. For the thousands of people listening right now that say they are followers of Jesus and we're confronted with the realities of today, in terms of tomorrow, eternity, you're a pastor, you've written another powerful book, Take Back Your Life. Anything you want to share with the listeners that maybe God's put on your heart to convey to us?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, if you're like me, you're feeling today like, man, this is so much. This is more than I can bear. And I just don't know how long I can continue to fight this fight and go through this and deal with this. And there's just so much uncertainty. And I would just say, if you're feeling that way, good, because that positions you perfectly to receive the grace of Jesus in a fresh way today. And I just would encourage you, don't take your weakness and your being run down and exhausted as a sign that's a bad sign, that something's gone wrong. I would just say, hey, that means you're human, and that means you're a man and you're a woman. And the Bible says even young men, the strongest among us, will fail, and even the mightiest will utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord will receive new strength. So don't be discouraged if you've run out of strength. Just remember where you can get some new strength and ask for Jesus. I think, you know, we as Jesus followers, we forget the simple things. And the simple thing is, if you ask Jesus for new strength today, he'll give it to you. And it's like, man, I'm mad at God. I'm tired. He's not giving me power. I just go, did you ask him for it? Because
right.
He'll give you power. He'll give you his spirit. He will give you new mercies for a new day. So don't miss your appointment with him tomorrow. And don't beat yourself up for your failures today. Tomorrow's a new chance to trust him, to walk with him, to watch him heal the hurting parts of your soul, and then position you to be an encouragement to people around you.
Wow. Amen. Levi is founder and lead pastor of Fresh Life Church in Montana, also Wyoming, Oregon, and Utah. He's written many books, author of the book Through the Eyes of a Lion about his beautiful daughter, Lenya. His brand new book today, Take Back Your Life, a 40-day interactive journey to thinking right so you can live right. LeviLusko.com is the website. Well, God bless you, man. It's good to hear your voice. I hope and pray somehow I see you soon. Thank you for all you do for us and for God's kingdom. You are a brother, and I love you. And thank you for speaking God's truth at a time when we so desperately need to hear it.
Oh, man, Frank, you're doing such a great job shining the light all over Los Angeles and beyond. Many, many, many blessings to you.
Thank you, brother. You too. LeviLusko.com is the website. Again, get your book today, Take Back Your Life. It is out today. When we continue, we're going to go up to the Pacific Northwest this time and check in on Seattle and Portland and some of the latest there. Phone lines are also open. 888-528-2557. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next. All right, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. It is a private joke behind the scenes, and I'm not even going to respond or comment further other than welcome back to the program. Wow. Thank you to Levi Lusko. What's that? Yeah, I agree. And they can't hear what you just said in my headphones, right? Yeah, I agree. In radio, sometimes producer, engineer can talk in your headset. You obviously can't hear. It sounds like I'm talking to myself. Oh. Thank you, Levi Lusko. I'm actually going to order the book when I get off the air. Take Back Your Life. We're going to wade into something we've briefly touched on, but we're going to get in much deeper now. Because it's not just in Seattle and Portland. It is, in a way, it's the realities of what's going on in our country. If you missed it over the weekend, Portland, they burned Bibles. Portland mayor sitting there, they're just peaceful protesters and we're going to revitalize downtown Portland, and yet business owners are afraid. They're saying this, it's too late. Meantime, the ACLU has filed a lawsuit against the Portland Police Bureau. They want to block police from live streaming riots. Can you imagine? In a day and age where everybody's got a phone, everybody's videotaping everything. Oh, no, not allowed to. What does that mean? They're going to outlaw body cameras, too? The Oregon branch of the ACLU, they say, quote, by live streaming videos of protesters, the police are maintaining information about their political or social views, and this is against their individual rights, end quote. Oregon Live is a local periodical in Oregon. Quote, the police live stream zooms in on individual faces, making protesters vulnerable to face surveillance technology, the Civil Rights Agency contends. The police bureau put a link to its live stream on Twitter 3 times this month. Portland police and federal officers have made arrests after reviewing video footage to identify people accused of committing violence or property damage. Not the peaceful protesters, right? So that's one story out of Portland. By the way, any thoughts you may have, 888-528-2557 are the numbers to call. Now, there is a story that was passed on to me last night, and I thought this has got to be from the Babylon Bee or the Onion. This can't be true. This has to be some weird satire or something. The headline reads, lawsuit alleges Black Lives Matter protesters are being priced out of civil rights. Cost of protective clothing too high. That's the headline. And I'm like, what? This isn't the Seattle Times. Let me read you a little bit of this nugget. A lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court of Seattle alleges that protesters in the Black Lives Matter movement are being priced out of their civil rights by the cost of defending themselves against police violence. The 5 plaintiffs in the lawsuit allege that the purchase of helmets, gas masks, protective clothing, goggles, gloves, boots, umbrellas, and other gear, they say, are needed to fend off police pepper spray, less lethal projectiles, and other crowd dispersal tools has impinged on their civil right to peacefully protest. All 5 say they were victims of indiscriminate, their word, police violence during protests on Capitol Hill on June 25th. Again, this is in Seattle. They claim that repeated use of force by Seattle Police Department during more than 6 weeks of civil unrest. 6 weeks of civil unrest. And they say police brutality has made it impossible to exercise their right to gather and protest without personal protective gear, which they say is not cheap. The lawsuit alleges, quote, because protesters now must purchase expensive equipment to be assured that they will be able to protest safely, The indiscriminate use of weapons by the Seattle Police Department implicates equal protection, end quote. What's your response to that? 888-528-2557. And there's more. More quotes. Because the Seattle Police Department has acted above and outside the law in dispensing its unbridled force. The government effect is to establish a de facto protest tax. Individual protesters subjected to Seattle Police Department's unabated and indiscriminate violence now must purchase cost-prohibitive gear to withstand munitions as a condition to exercising their right to free speech and peaceable assembly, end quote. That's what the attorney wrote who filed the lawsuit. U.S. District Judge Richard Jones weighed in. He's found that police in earlier protests violated the civil rights of thousands of Seattle protesters by, in the judge's view, deploying tear gas, streams of pepper spray to disperse otherwise peaceful crowds. They're peaceful. According to the Seattle Times, police have reacted after isolated but destructive incidents of arson and vandalism by some involved in the protest. Oh yeah, by the way, dozens of officers have suffered injuries from thrown objects and fireworks. We have open lines, 888-528-2557. If you want to comment on either story directly, either in Portland or Seattle. Lawsuits filed in Seattle. Protesters saying, oh no, you need to pay for all the goodies we've got to put on because the police are so brutal. They're so violent. So you need to buy all of my gas masks and my helmets and my gloves and my boots so I can go protest. 888-528-2557. Now, there are adages that apply. I love the one, save the best for last. Here's another story out of Seattle. Now, again, set it up. Lawsuit's been filed on behalf of five protesters saying, Seattle police, they're so bad. In order for me to protest, and I can't afford a helmet, I can't buy the gear I need to wear for the quote-unquote peaceful protest. What about the Seattle police chief? Her name is Carmen Best. She's asked the local city council to stand up after homes were targeted by these protesters, peaceful protesters. We have lines open, by the way, 888-528-2557. If you are calling and no one is picking up, be patient. We'll get to you as soon as we can. We do have some lines open. Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best sent a letter to the city council asking members to stand up for what's right. After hundreds of protesters descended on her home over the weekend. Chief Best wrote in a letter, quote, a residence of mine in Snohomish County was targeted by a large group of aggressive protesters late last night. My neighbors were concerned by such a large group, but they were successful in ensuring the crowd was not able to trespass or engage in other illegal behavior in the area, despite repeated attempts to do so. On Saturday night, a group of about 200 protesters, try to imagine this, And dozens of vehicles descended on the quiet street in Snohomish County where Chief Bess lives. By the way, she wasn't at home. Neighbors said that several residents used their own vehicles to block the protesters from moving further down the street. Resident Jamie Ralston, quote, "It was not peaceful. They were here to intimidate, scare people, scare children. There were children out there and they were asking them what schools they went to. They were yelling the most horrible things you've ever heard in your entire life." End quote. Chief Best warned that protesters who engage in violence and intimidation are detracting from the racial justice message sparked by the death of George Floyd. We have two lines open, 888-528-2557. The last part of her letter read as this. Quote, "These direct actions against elected officials and especially civil servants like myself are out of line and go against every democratic principle that guides our nation. Before this devolves into the new way of doing business by mob rule here in Seattle and across the nation, elected officials like you must forcefully call for the end of these tactics." End quote. Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney issued a statement Sunday saying he would deploy whatever resources necessary to protect Chief Best and her family, and that people who have a bone to pick with local government should demonstrate at a government-owned building instead of private residences. Sheriff Fortney wrote this, "The Snohomish County Sheriff's Office has been supportive and accommodating to all peaceful protests that have occurred in our jurisdiction. With that said, protesters targeting one individual's home is a bullying tactic that will certainly require an extra patrol response to ensure every resident in Snohomish County can feel safe in their own home, no matter what they choose to do to make a living. If this group or any other group wants to protest the government, we would ask that they do so at a government building and not at any individual's private residence," end quote. What do you think about this? 888-528-2557. We have a couple of open lines. I'd love to engage in some kind of dialogue, whether it's specifically about the Pacific Northwest or just overall on this issue. And what about protesting when you hear the term peaceful protests? 60-plus days in Portland. They're now burning Bibles. Do you not have to ask when is enough enough? I saw this post the other day. They came for the statue of the great emancipator Abraham Lincoln. Then they came for the statues of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. Then they defaced statues of the Virgin Mary and then Jesus. Then they burned down the church. Now they burn Bibles in the streets of Portland. You who believe you're supporting racial justice need to wake up. The violence in our streets is no longer about race. It's about power and the authority of God. Our communities will never recover from this lawlessness, and the very freedoms you take for granted may be lost while you slumber. Wake up and oppose these anarchists. Are they anarchists? Are they peaceful protesters? Is there a they? Or can we be more specific about there are some that are peaceful protesters, there are some that are violent anarchists, and maybe there are others as well. But what about local? The mayor, Seattle, Portland. Oh, no, they're all peaceful. And I'll say the word, what about the politicians that won't even get in this discussion where it's just, no, everybody's peaceful and somehow law enforcement is all bad? And if you missed the audio clip I played yesterday with Mr. Fauci on Capitol Hill and Congressman Jim Jordan asking him about protesters and just trying to get him to say, Congressman, yeah, I agree. We've got some problems with the protesters. But if you miss that and how he danced around that and just said, I have no opinion. I can't opine about that. Yeah, okay. What about you? You the taxpayer. You the United States citizen. Have you had enough? Do you have a comment? Do you have a thought? And even more so, maybe we need to take some action here, whatever that may be. I'd love to hear if you say yes, here's an active step. Call the program. We have one line open. 888-528-2557. 888-52-TALKS. We will continue. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. If you missed the previous segment or any portion of the program for that matter, you can always go to our website for this radio station, download the podcast, which stereotypically is up literally after the program. If you missed the previous segment, I talked about Seattle and Portland, some specifics about the ongoing protests slash riots in those areas. A very bizarre lawsuit was filed in Seattle by five protesters who now want the government to pay for their gear, helmets, boots, because they say the Seattle Police Department is abusive and violent. The police chief, her home over the weekend was targeted by 200 peaceful protesters. Want to come in and just, I guess, you know, break bread together. So what about you? What do you say about this? Now, it figures the one call I was going to take just dropped off the screen. So we have a line open, 888-528-2557. We have kind of wide and varied, some on the topic, some a little off the topic, but I'm going to try to take as many as I can. 888-528-2557. Charlie in Westminster. Charlie, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, thanks. About 10 years ago, I protested plenty. But when I heard that a bunch of people protested outside Rohrabacher's home and woke up his kids, you know, I wrote him. And I said, this is terrible. Your home is off limits. That people should not be harassed any place, and they should not be harassed where they live. I think that's terrible. Number one, it's a terrible thing to do to people. You know, these people deserve respect too. And number two, if you're trying to make a point, you shouldn't alienate people.
Okay, Charlie, thank you for the call. For those that don't have any idea what you're talking about, when you said that Dana Rohrabacher was a local congressman, and so obviously you're talking about protests many years ago. Thank you for the call. Linda in Los Angeles, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. You know, it's almost disheartening to hear the news. You know, all I have right now is talk radio for the most part. But, you know, God will sometimes tolerate obedience to give you time to repent, but he does not tolerate rebellion, and that's what this is. What, over 60 days straight of so-called peaceful protests? Well, you know what? Remember what God did to his enemies in the Old Testament, Frank? He confused them, and they destroyed themselves. And that's what these people are asking for. They have no God, and that's why they burned the word, because they've never read it, and they do not have a God. So now is the time for people, the people of God, to stand on their knees and pray. Stand on their knees and pray. Because our liberties are going to be taken away by people who do not believe. So thank you, Frank, for letting me speak my piece. I appreciate you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Linda. God bless you, too. I'm going to refrain, at least try to, from comments, response, even though I've had both both callers. I had something to say, but I want to try to get through as many calls as I can. Linda in Laguna Niguel. Linda, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say a couple things about what's going on. Every single one of these people belongs in prison, like for a good 10 years for what they're doing. And I just pray that once Trump is reelected on November 3rd, and I'm asking everybody that's listening to pray several times a day for our president to be reelected on November 3rd and for every single seat up for election on our nation on November 3rd that gets filled with a Christian American patriot. But I wanted to say once Trump is reelected, I'm praying that then we can go after these governors and mayors who have allowed this. They need to be criminally prosecuted also. And maybe we can start getting our country back on the right track.
Well, Linda, I think that's well said. Thank you for sharing. When you talk about criminally prosecuted, we live in a state, for instance, and I realize Seattle, Portland are not in California. But we have a state by which the governor is letting out 8,000 prisoners over this month that have been exposed to COVID-19. So I think of the essence is law. And what about prosecuting criminals? What derives what a criminal is these days, right? Because we hear the terminology so much, peaceful protesters. We've got a few moments. Paul in Corona. Paul, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
Paul, I'm well. How are you?
Oh, good, good. First time caller and a little nervous. But I think a good thing to do is have these pastors open their churches up, and we need to go back to church regular. And I think we need to stand up against the rules that Newsom has put on the church. And I think if they just unite their voice, and they would give us a voice. We don't really have a voice, you know, the small guys like us. We're frustrated, but we need somebody to go out there and speak for us, and we need somebody to rally around.
Yeah, I like that idea, but why do you believe that minimizing the impact you can make when you say, well, we just have these small voices? Why would you buy into that ideology? That's not true.
I can sit here and cry all I want to people I know, but if we all get into a church and become one voice, then that becomes louder, and it's better seen. I think we all have a voice, but I think we need to unite behind somebody that has a platform that can really speak what we're feeling.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I apologize. I don't want to come off confrontative. You said you were nervous, and not my intention at all. I appreciate your call and your perspective. For me, said a little differently, I think what I hear you saying is, where is leadership? Where are those that would lead? And I think that's a valid point. I also think in this day and age of social media and all sorts of other ways we can make our voices heard, I suspect we've got a lot more power than maybe we would lead on. And I'm not talking about Paul directly, but the idea of I'm just this little person, I can't do anything. I think for some that's a payoff. And just, you know, let's look to the leaders and I'll follow. Maybe we'll weigh in more on that. This is the Frank Sontag Show.